fighting for America.
Republicans should stop holding our Homeland Security hostage.
The president needs to listen to the American people and say, yes, let's build the Keystone Pipeline.
Fighting for Idaho.
What we are teaching young people right now is if you love someone, beat the heck out of them. If you love someone, choke them, whip them, torture them.
Fighting for you.
Brian Williams. It's almost as if the libs are reluctantly carrying the water on this story.
Well, what are you talking about? He cured cancer and landed on the moon.
Boise's Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning.
How can you criticize somebody that did these things?
Right.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Fighting for America.
Republicans should stop holding our Homeland Security hostage.
The president needs to listen to the American people and say, yes, let's build the Keystone Pipeline.
Fighting for Idaho.
What we are teaching young people right now is if you love someone, beat the heck out of them. If you love someone, choke them, whip them, torture them.
Fighting for you.
Brian Williams. It's almost as if the libs are reluctantly carrying the water on this story.
Well, what are you talking about? He cured cancer and landed on the moon.
Boise's Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning.
How can you criticize somebody that did these things?
Right.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us. Welcome to Tuesday. I was talking to somebody the other day, actually today, and I said, well, hey, it's time to get up and start the day together. Why? It's Sunday. To me, it just seems like kind of a sleepy day here. We are talking about whether or not we're going to raise the gasoline tax here in the state of Idaho. We'll take your calls on that. 8 cents for gasoline, 12 cents for diesel. It's all to fix the roads, right? Well, before we get to that, our friend, our brother, a great American, Jeff Manasso, joining us from Fox News Radio. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I think we could we should bring back the USFL or some type of spring football.
I wouldn't be against that.
I mean, you know, little Birmingham Stallions, New Jersey Generals, Arizona Wranglers.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm already going through withdrawals myself.
It is a tough gig when you think about just life without football and there's, like, nothing on. Anyway, I'd go on and on about that. Apparently, Jeff, there are a lot of teens that are sleepy these days.
Well, there's a new study out by the University of Michigan that says that, essentially, that more than half of American teens ages 15 and older lack even 7 hours of sleep per night. And this study involves nearly 300,000 teens over the last 2.5 decades, finds that the sleeping patterns for teens have gotten worse. The biggest drop among 15-year-olds, just over half the kids that age, 15 years old, reported at least 7 hours of sleep back in 1991. That versus less than 43% today. And researchers blame a couple of different things: social media, smartphones, other electronics devices, and even the rising rates of obesity, along with early school start times. I'm not sure how much I buy into the early school start times. I think if you get enough sleep, your early school start times probably wouldn't be a problem. I think kids have been going to school in the 6 and 7 o'clock hour for generations, but what they haven't been doing is staring at their cell phones and texting and chatting and Facebooking and you name it. It's becoming a real problem.
Well, it's crazy though when you think about how we're overstimulated, and it's almost impossible, I would think, to be able to get some sleep when you have your iPhone, your tablet, your Facebook, your Instagram, and just the exchange of information is so instantaneous.
Yeah, it is. It's really hard to shut down. I mean, the idea when you go into your room at night and you lay down, the idea is to shut down, to relax, to go to sleep. And when you've got your smartphone or whatever device is next to you and it's going off and ringing, and now I've got a new text from this person who says, oh my God, did you hear about that person? And then so then you get into this long, you know, text chat. Or look, man, I'm guilty of it. I know you are too. Going to bed, and right before you go to bed, you look at the breaking news or whatever's going on, and
right,
you read up, and then you get caught into something else. And before you know it, 20 minutes has gone by. And you've been staring at your cell phone. I think the big takeaway from this study, Kevin, is that there's a problem, and we're changing, we're evolving based on the availability of this instant information and these devices that has just there's just so much coming at us, and for a teenager, by the way, they recommend that the researchers recommend that teenagers get 9 to 10 hours of sleep. For a teenager, there's so much coming at them, and by the time they shut down at night, it's probably due to exhaustion. They're just staring at their phones and their devices, until they just can't do it anymore. And the ramifications are that the next day, they're just dog tired.
Well, and the crazy part about this is it leads to more anxiety, perhaps more medication. But even if you're, Jeff, I used to, and I still sleep with a radio next to me. I love having a radio, even though, people love the electronic devices and they listen to the radio on their phones and such. To me, there's something about a radio, but start getting it, playing with your phone or your tablet, and hey, you can watch a movie, you can watch a short video, and then there's another video, and before you know it, it's like 3 hours later.
I know. You have a radio, you have an alarm clock. You're so 1990s.
I am. I have my alarm clock. I get up and hit it every morning.
I'm just kidding. but see, that's how we're evolving. We're changing, yeah. and these devices that we use, they're changing our behavior. I mean, look, you've been to a restaurant and you've seen a family of four, nice family sitting around a table, and none of them are talking to each other. They're staring at their phones. We're evolving, and again, I think the big takeaway is that there perhaps is a problem, and that we should at least recognize that in some cases these devices are controlling our behavior, and we just have to recognize it and shut it down. We've come a long way from the day where we had one phone in the house. It was in the kitchen with a 30-foot cord
and the rotary phone. Yeah, rotary dial. Yeah. Well, Jeff Manasso, we could go on and on about this, right?
Mm-hmm. We could.
Anyway, we appreciate it, brother. What was your favorite USFL team? Did you have one?
No, I didn't.
Man.
I didn't.
Man, I love that league.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some other time.
Yeah.
Jeff, thank you.
Thanks, man.
Our friend Jeff Manasso. How big an influence is football in our lives? I mean, we're going through the withdrawals and everything, and people are talking about the combine, watching a bunch of dudes run around in shorts and a T-shirt. Is that really that exciting? Probably not. Anyway, for our friends on the constitutional law scale, and we have a lot of people here at the old Kevin Miller Show, the Miller Militia. We have our friend Tom Munns, who always, is our constitutional scholar. We have Chris Troupas, a great attorney. Alan L. Morton, a great attorney. We have a lot of you that call in and quote constitutional law to me. And it's usually between states' rights, and it's usually between the federalism, the supremacy clause. Which is superior? Well, we have a clip. That's right. We have a clip from Alabama Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice Roy Moore, who is the topic of several debates going on around the country and around the world, because he said no to the federal government. In fact, on one of the shows, I believe it was this week with George Stephanopoulos, you had an attorney on saying he's not going to listen to Judge Roy Moore. But it does give us time and pause to take a look at this debate at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do states have a right, in this case, gay marriage, to say no to the federal government?
Tell President Obama that he's entirely correct. Federal law does trump state law. But what this Harvard professor, who is president of the United States, does not understand is that a trial court's decision on the constitutionality of a federal question is just that. It's an opinion. It may be law of the case before her. It is not overturning the Alabama Constitution. Is not made by judges. That's something very basic, something Speaker Boehner has just referred to about the constitutional violations of this president and the Supreme Court. We are seeing this. Those interpretations are not law. If they were, then the legislature would have no role. Legislators are to make law. Congress is to make law. The United States Supreme Court Constitution is law. So is the Alabama Constitution. We have a fundamental misunderstanding in our country that federal courts, by their mere utterance, make law. They do not make law, sir. They make law of the case applicable to the parties before them.
There you have it. So apparently the federal judges don't know what they're talking about, and Judge Roy Moore does. Now, by the way, how does this impact Idaho? Well, the whole issue of gay marriage, which we thought had been decided, could be decided, will be decided, when will be decided, is now a topic for an Idaho lawmaker. He's upset with federal judges who have overturned same-sex marriage bans across the nation. Is proposing that Congress impeach judges who fail to uphold the U.S. Constitution. Now, this is a guy right out of the Miller Militia here. Paul Shepard of Riggins introducing the non-binding resolution Monday in the Idaho House State Affairs Committee. The committee voted to introduce the resolution. The four Democrats, they were opposed. Basically, Shepard says, you notice how the narrative of these stories are, by the way, where we, you know, overturned same-sex marriage bans. That wasn't, when you voted, you know, if you were here for the Idaho Constitution, it wasn't a ban you voted for. It was in defense of marriage. It was called the Defense of Marriage Act, right? It wasn't a move to ban it. So shouldn't they word it differently? Of course, this is why we don't have critical thinking skills and no one questions the integrity or the validity or the objectivity of our writers today, of our journalists today. Shepard said that federal judges have advocated against the intent of the U.S. Constitution, focusing primarily on the multiple rulings that gay marriage bans are illegal. Idaho's marriage ban, I thought it was called Defense of Marriage Act, by the way. You know, it's funny again, and people say, well, Kevin, how did we lose the cultural war? Let me tell you how we lost the cultural war. You have the journalists, you have the entertainers, you have the influence makers, the opinion leaders, the decision makers who decided that they, in turn, were going to influence how the public thought. And we see that now, do we not? By Idaho's gay marriage ban, it was the Defense of Marriage Act, right? See the difference? Defense of Marriage Act, gay marriage ban. One is positive, one is negative. It's kind of like being pro-life, where they say you're not pro-life, you're anti-abortion. Shepard's resolution originally said judges should be impeached if they make changes to the law. However, several committee members countered that the language was too broad and amended it. So here we have Judge Roy Moore in Alabama basically saying, hey, the feds don't make the law, we make the law, and the feds have no authority over us. Let's hear this one more time. Do we have this, Sweet William?
I'd like to tell President Obama that he's entirely correct. Federal law does trump state law. But what this Harvard professor, who is president of the United States, does not understand is that a trial court's decision on the constitutionality of a federal question is just that. It's an opinion. It may be law of the case before her. It is not overturning the Alabama Constitution. It's not made by judges. That's something very basic, something Speaker Boehner has just referred to about the constitutional violations of this president and the Supreme Court. We are seeing this. Those interpretations are not law. If they were, then the legislature would have no role. Legislators are to make law. Congress is to make law. The United States Supreme Court Constitution is law. So is the Alabama Constitution. We have a fundamental misunderstanding in our country that federal courts, by their mere utterance, make law. They do not make law, sir. They make law of the case applicable to the parties before them.
No, it kind of reminds me of Tom Munns talking about the Supreme Court doesn't make law. But we see this with the administration, and once you have a lower court ruling, they say, well, that's the law. No, it isn't. It should go to the Supreme Court, right? Exactly. The Supreme.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. So we have Judge Roy Moore calling everybody out.
We have a possible gas tax hike. Diesel, 12 cents a gallon. Gasoline, 8 cents a gallon. Tea Party Bob, the Gem State Patriot.
Well, you got my blood boiling this morning, Kevin. I can't tell you how upset I am about what's going on in that legislature. I've been saying for the past 2 years our legislators are not conservative. And every day they're in session, they prove it more and more to me. We've got scandals with the CCA, with the IEN. Nobody pays any attention to them in the media. There's no transparency and absolutely no accountability in our state government for what's going on. Multi-million-dollar problems in the Internet, and nobody's being held accountable. What in the heck is going on down there? You know, how about fixing the contract process and getting rid of the cronyism that runs rampant in the government? You know, now we're looking at an 8-cent per gallon gas tax increase just for gasoline, 12 cents for diesel, and they have the audacity to say they're going to increase it by 1 cent a year for inflation. How about we do some auditing of the fixing of the roads and find out whether we're even getting our money's worth when these people go out there and fix them? It appears to me that the legislators are waging a war on the middle and lower class citizens of Idaho. They don't realize how regressive this tax is and how much it's going to hurt the lower and middle income families. An 8% increase is going to bring the tax to 33 cents per gallon, almost double what the federal tax is. And nobody seems to care. And we are going to get a federal tax. That's coming down the pike. That's going to be 12 to 14 more cents. You know, I wrote about this last year when I talked about the governor, and he spoke to the road contractors about fixing the roads and how bad they were. The only thing he cared about was, hey, getting me elected is the most important thing. Does everybody remember that? Just more cronyism. The governor said this state, in a state of the state message, that he's going to cut the property tax for businesses, cut the highest income tax rates, get $100 million more for the school budget. What about the people who really pay the taxes that run this state? What about getting rid of the stupid grocery tax that hurts the middle class and the lower income families just as badly as the gas tax? I haven't heard a bloody word about that. All I hear from the legislature is higher fees and higher taxes. You know, when are the people of Idaho going to go out?
Now, wait a minute. You know, you're filibustering here. The governor did say that he, in the state of the state, he was going to give us a tax cut.
Where?
Well, I'm going to share it with you coming up here. Let's take a listen. Do we have it, Sweet William? We do?
By now, most of you know that I would like to see further reductions in the marginal tax rates for Idaho individual and corporate income tax to below 7% from their current 7.4%.
Who is he affecting? The highest bracket.
Well,
that's
Kevin. Look, that's you, big money.
That's not me, and it's certainly not the middle and lower income families of this state.
Well, what do they really contribute?
Well, they contribute 90% of the taxes, I'll tell you that.
Well, then they're going to pay.
Well, yes, they are going to pay, and it's unfortunate. Maybe the next time people go to the polls, they'll read the resumes first.
Well, you had your chance.
What do you mean I had my chance?
You had your chance in this election. It didn't play out. People have voted for the governor. They voted for they brought back the cronies, and there you have it.
Well, I don't know what you have to do to educate people. Maybe I have to hold courses in civics. Maybe that would help.
Well, maybe when they get their tax bill.
Then when they get the tax bill, that's going to wake them up.
Tea
Kevin,
Party
thanks
Bob.
Again for everything you do, brother.
Gem State Patriot, new edition out, gemstatepatriot.com. Thank you.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you. All right, we go to Mrs. Pro-Life about the comments of Judge Roy Moore.
Yes, I'm so glad you had him. You had that on there because he is so right. We're just so ignorant about our Constitution anymore, and I think that what he said was so true that, you know, judges can't make law. We're just allowing it to happen. It's pretty ridiculous. And, you know, and talking about the jurisdiction between federal and state governments, I mean, jurisdiction is that, you know, criminal law should be only in the states, and federal government shouldn't have anything to do with that. But, you know, here we go again. Sexual laws or any of those, you know, there's so many laws that it should be only the jurisdiction of the state. The governor should realize that and say, hey, this is our jurisdiction. Forget you. We're not going to court over this. So I don't know. It's pretty ridiculous that we don't go by our Constitution. It's getting pretty old.
Look, take a look at the president. People get killed, the Christians and everything else, and what does he do?
Well, I see the Republicans and the Democrats not following the Constitution, so, I mean, what choice is there?
Look, we just want to get along and get elected and reelected, you know?
That's right. Selfishness is the problem. You know, we will destroy our Constitution over selfishness.
Well, thank you for that uplifting thought today.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right, let's go to John in Boise with Kevin Miller. Good morning, John.
This is John, yeah. I have a comment about the road construction and the proposed gas tax.
The crumbling roads and bridges, yes.
Yes. I have a commute that takes me through the 5 mile between Fairview and Emerald stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And I have watched them tear up a road that was in perfectly good shape, two-lane road, and take about 6 months and who knows how many millions of dollars to rebuild the road. And now every time I pull out on that road, there's two lanes occupied by cars. So they have a four-lane, almost like a small freeway, and there's still two lanes being used. And every time I would drive up and down that road while the construction is going on, I see four guys in their yellow coats, orange coats, whatever, three guys with the shovel in their hand, and they're standing around looking at a hole saying, yeah, well, we could do this. And I see them having their safety meetings for like 45 minutes out there doing nothing. They tear up the lane. They lay down two lanes. They tear up the other lane. They lay down two lanes. They throw away all the asphalt that was in perfectly good shape. Now we have a small little freeway going up 5 mile, and there's two lanes being used. So how many millions of dollars did it take for them to do that?
Well, you got to employ those folks. You know, we're working for them, not the other way around.
Like, they're making like 25 to 30 an hour.
Full benefits, nice pension, good times.
You got your safety guys standing around in their orange suits, just directing traffic, standing there doing nothing all day. Half the time I go by, I see one guy on his cell phone, another guy with a shovel in his hand, two guys watching him dig a hole. And the equipment, oh my gosh, can you imagine the rental on those equipment that are going up and down the road, those ditch diggers, the excavators?
It's just crazy. Probably. And so are we led to believe that we haven't done anything for our roads in how many years? What about the money that is going? We have a $262 million shortfall, and now we're supposed to trust the government that this time we're going to put the money where it should be.
Okay, Kevin, you could look into how much did it cost them to build that one-mile stretch from Fairview to Emerald on 5 mile. Of course, they had to put in all the spy cameras. You know, they've got spy cameras at every corner watching you all the time. And so why did they have to do that? Because nobody's driving the road. I mean, it's still just two lanes as far as people traveling up and down it.
John, you make a lot of sense for me. Maybe you should run for office.
No, I think I'm going to get a job in construction. I'll be a flagger.
Take care, sir.
All right.
You know, and we laugh about this, but, you know, perhaps we should actually do a blog here, because here's a new one. Do we really live in a conservative state? We live in a Republican state, but is it conservative? This just in from Channel 7. A proposal is on the table in the Idaho legislature to increase the sales tax from 6% to 7%. Now, is it in Oregon where they don't have the sales tax? Is that right? Oregon doesn't have a state sales tax? So Oregon, pretty big libs, if you will. How can the liberal state not have a sales tax? And in Idaho, we're thinking about raising ours to 7. Let's talk. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And here we go, 580KIDO. Kay Miller with you, Dave Burnett with us. It is Wednesday already. Where's the week gone?
You took Monday off.
Oh, that's right. You worked Monday.
Yes, I did, all day.
So you have some mileage on the odometer there, huh?
Well, it's just a regular work week. Another week at work.
Now, you're not honoring the presidents?
I did.
By working?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they did. They were very hard workers. Our founding fathers, hard workers, didn't believe in taking Mondays off.
They didn't take Mondays off.
Yeah, had no choice. Traffic had to be done. So they said, who's dumb enough to come into work on a paid holiday? I am, sir. Pick me. So I came in.
Jeez. Well, you and the city of Star, I've got some issues with Star.
Really?
And I'm wondering if, you know, we pick up the trash on Mondays, and I thought, well, surely there'll be no trash on Dr. King Day, right? And they picked up the trash on Dr. King Day, and I was offended by that. And I said, well, I guess they're not honoring Dr. King. And so then it's President's Day, and I'm thinking to myself, why? Well, I guess they won't pick up the trash on President's Day because they'll honor the presidents. And just like you, they work. They picked up the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, well, maybe it's me. Maybe everybody should just work.
Well, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you.
Wow. Yeah, I knew you.
What do you got a problem with the city of Star?
Well, because they're not taking Dr. King Day off. They're not taking President's Day off.
Well, that's a garbage company. That's not the city.
Well, they contract with them.
That's still not the city.
Well, then Star needs to talk to these folks.
Tell them not to pick up the garbage?
Say, you know, when it's the 4th of July and such.
Do you know how it works? Do you know how the whole garbage deal works if you're a garbage sanitation engineer?
How does it work?
You know how it works, and you're condemning them.
Well, you tell me that.
They're just paid by the route. Whether they pick it all up in 2 hours or they pick it up over 2 weeks, they're paid the same amount.
Well, I still think they should have taken time off to honor Dr. King and take time off to honor the presidents.
What'd you do to honor the presidents here Monday there, buddy?
I took the day off.
And what'd you do to honor them?
I put a blog on, 580kido.com,
Ooh. And
said, who's your favorite president? I did some research. I looked over my archives of presidential readings looked at the works of Lincoln and Washington, and I debated it myself. I had my internal poll, who would be my favorite president. By the way, you go to 580kido.com, Washington, Lincoln, Reagan, Grover Cleveland. How many of us have forgotten about the contributions of Grover Cleveland?
I know.
And I know you're going to say, well, what are they? I'm not going to spoil it for people and do their work for them. I'm going to say, look, Grover Cleveland, Rutherford B. Hayes, Franklin Pierce, these are all great people that have contributed to American history, underappreciated. Just saying.
Yeah. Boy, you did a lot of work on President's Day to honor the president.
I did. And
that's fantastic.
I honored President Obama.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a good time. Had by one and all.
That is fantastic.
So there you have it. So now I think I've covered everything that I did on President's Day, and you worked. So.
Yeah.
Well, anything that you have today?
Let's see, Bronco Nation all a buzz that they've named somebody within to be offensive coordinator. Yeah, whatever. okay. Even though Mike Sanford still hadn't been named the coordinator of Notre Dame, but I guess that's just a foregone conclusion, I guess. Because he's out. They said he's out. He's done. He's gone. So.
But the local people still won't say he has taken the gig.
It's not theirs to say. It's his. It's his to say.
Is to say.
Yeah. Drinkwitz has been promoted up from assistant offensive coordinator to offensive coordinator. Lee Marks, excellent back for Boise State back in the day, has been moved up to the running backs coach. So there you have it.
That's all you have?
That's all I got. I don't got much else.
Let's hear from Bill O'Reilly here at 580KIDO.
And so, on the president's watch, the following countries have become terrorist safe havens: Syria, Iraq, northern Pakistan, eastern Nigeria, Libya, Somalia, Iran, parts of Algeria, and parts of Afghanistan. That is quite a resume. We in America have been fortunate that our intelligence agencies and the FBI, as well as local police, have prevented another big attack like 9/11. Instead, we and other countries continue to absorb small blows from fanatical individuals. But with ISIS expanding its territory and recruiting thousands of fanatical killers from all over the world, No one is safe. Therefore, it is imperative that President Obama stop living in a theoretical, even fictional world.
There you have it. Bill O'Reilly there laying it out. And by the way, 45 Iraqis burned alive by ISIS. You take a look at this, and what's it going to take for the president to actually do something? He's got his, oh, we're serious about it, summit today. It's a three-day summit. But even Eric Holder over the weekend saying, well, you know, it's Fox News because Fox News keeps calling them terrorists and really doesn't matter if they're terrorists or not. In fact, quoting Eric Holder, the outgoing attorney general, it doesn't matter what we call them. And what would they do if Fox didn't call them terrorists? I mean, this is a true disconnect that this administration has with the reality that is revolving around them.
Who cares what Fox News calls them? I mean, really, who cares, Eric Holder? How about what you guys call them? That's kind of more important, don't you think?
I get it, but you know, yesterday we were talking about this, and let me hit you with it. Remember when we were kids and they talked about the Holocaust, and after that they said never again.
Mm-hmm.
Never again would we stand by while people were persecuted, while Jewish people were persecuted, but I think that would apply to just about everybody. And you see what's going on with the Christians that hasn't been reported in Syria, and Assad was killing Christians, although they had a better life under Assad. Look at what's going on in Iraq. Open season. There's been open season in Palestine, the occupied territories on Christians for quite some time. And this administration does absolutely nothing.
Well, they still refuse to see that there is a religious war going on.
Well, look, they beheaded 21 Egyptian Christians,
mm-hmm.
and our administration called them Egyptian citizens. And ISIS said, to the nations of the cross, these are all crusaders, and they've got to go. And I'm going, reet, reet, reet. And the reaction from our administration that truly, and we said this yesterday, we're leading from behind, and that's what the president wanted. Wanted us to lead from behind, apparently.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating the term, you know, of the cross, crusaders of the cross, that is now surfacing. I don't know how, well, I guess I do. I was going to say, I'm not quite sure how, you know, our administration is going to skirt their way around addressing that, but they'll just ignore like they have everything else. But, I mean, they're putting it out front, ISIS. Or ISIL is, you know, they're putting it out front what it is.
Yeah. And they're calling us out. I mean, when they say, Obama, we don't fear you. Obama, we're coming to get you. And we do nothing. We've called them the JV.
Yeah. And more U.S. counterterrorism officials are worried that there are ISIS agents coming in through refugees coming to the United States after, you know, coming out of Syria, trying to come to the United States, that they're trying to infiltrate and sneak in there.
Right. Right. And, you know, we already have an immigration problem. We'll talk about that coming up, the deal on immigration. But switching to state news, yesterday you were monitoring this program like you have a tendency to do sometimes.
You're talking to me?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You were monitoring 580 KIDO's Kevin Miller in the morning, and you actually, I can always tell when you're listening in, because I usually get a snarky email back from you. Snarky, snarky, snarky.
What did I say that was snarky?
I was talking about how liberal Oregon doesn't have a sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
And we in conservative Idaho, we're thinking about raising ours from 6 to 7%.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're talking.
And you go, well, they're going to get you on property tax. Now, look, if you want to call in, we need the calls.
Do you know what the percentage of property tax, having lived in Oregon as mm-hmm. I have, do you know what the percentage is on property tax in Oregon?
Do I know that?
Yeah.
No.
They'll hose you with property tax.
Well,
trust me.
Do you know?
Yes.
What is it?
0.87% of the value, assessed value.
Wow. You the deal is you pay.
Yeah, you do. You pay through property tax.
But, I mean, you pay either with a sales tax or an mm-hmm. income tax. I mean, these states that,
you know, like Texas or Florida or New Hampshire or Tennessee. Although Tennessee isn't bad, but Tennessee just doesn't have a state income tax. They still have a sales tax, which I'm sure is pretty high. They have to get the income. I'm just thinking, my point was, here we are in a conservative state, hanging out. We're run by, what is it, 80%, 85%, 95% Republicans? Heck, the Democrats are Republicans. And now we're talking about raising the gas tax. We're talking about raising the sales tax. And the governor's talking about having a tax cut for, like, the wealthy people. But besides that, it just seems like the taxes are going up.
Yep.
I mean, you're a fiscal guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of our favorite topics is talking about, you know, money this and money that. But what's your take on it? I mean, we're going to raise the sales tax? Okay.
Nah, they're just floating it out there. I don't think that they're going to.
Is that going to fund education? Because remember, the governor wants to spend more on education. You've got the increase. I mean, look, I'm going to hit you right where it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
12 cents per gallon for diesel they're going to raise, and then a penny every year? What's that about?
Yeah, well, they floated this in the past, and now they're trying to take advantage of the fact that the price of fuel, at least for now, is down. And so they're going to, while it's down, let's see if we can get them one a little bit.
Right, but you've been reporting gleefully that it's going back up.
Not gleefully.
You were pretty gleeful yesterday when you were sticking it to me.
Really?
I just say things for entertainment purposes only.
I know, but it makes me look like the fool.
And you don't do that to me?
Never.
Do you know what's the problem? No, I don't know.
Never. Never do I make you look the fool.
I do a good enough job of that myself.
If you're out on a limb, I'm just going to hand you the saw, buddy, and go, here you go.
Exactly.
Vooba, vooba. Oh, I can't make that sound effect. That's Bill Cosby. That'd be wrong.
I see.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, they're floating those ideas out there. Will they do it? No, of course not, because we were told when they raised the sales tax to 6 cents that it was temporal. So I'm sure they're getting ready. No, they did. They said it was just temporary that they'd lower back down. So I'm sure that's going back down to 5%.
Yes.
Part of the problem is, we got to run here real quickly, but we have a population of 1.5 million people that we're sucking the money out of. So it is difficult. There's not the large population base you have in other states. So it does. You have to get creative. You got to get creative on raising, you know, how you're going to pay for all this.
I think we should, you know, have like bake sales and stuff.
That'd be good. You can head that up. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County into.